today on Annenberg Radio News.
That was the last time they ever saw their parent. And even all those years later, it's still, they can barely speak about it.
Memories of Holocaust survivors are being preserved for the digital age. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 16th, 2008. I'm Lata Pandya. Investors looking for somewhere to put their money have found it in California, and it could help the state survive the economic rough spots. Caitlin Fenaro reports.
Governor Schwarzenegger is no stranger to campaigning, but instead of pushing candidates, he asked Californians to buy bonds. And it worked.
This is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Keep California great and invest in our golden state. Visit buycaliforniabonds.com.
The State Treasury Department announced today that it raised $5 billion in bond sales, giving some much-needed cash to prop up the state's budget. Before today, it wasn't looking good for California's payroll. The state was on the verge of asking the U.S. government for a hefty loan to cover expenses like teacher salaries, nursing homes, and law enforcement. Without the money, it said, state workers wouldn't get paid, and California would be out of cash by the end of October. But the radio ad campaign convinced investors to purchase the bonds, and the Treasury chipped in another $500 million. Crisis averted, right? Well, the state still needs another $2 billion just to cover its monthly expenses. Let's see if the governor can convince residents to fork over some more cash. Since, you know, we all have so much laying around. Caitlin Fenaro, Annenberg Radio News.
President Bush signed a new railroad safety law today. The law requires new technology that will automatically stop a train headed for a crash. And it mandates more rest for workers. California's legislators pushed hard for the new safety measures after the Metrolink crash in September that killed 25 people. The new railroad law also extends the life of Amtrak for 5 more years and provides $13 billion in new funding. A coalition of environmental groups urged voters today to vote no against Proposition 7 and 10 in the November election. Connie Kuo has more.
Propositions 7 and 10 both offer plans to increase renewable energy in California, but many environmentalists think the goals are too big and don't offer enough help. Today's news conference featured representatives from the Union of Concerned Scientists, Sierra Club, and the Natural Resources Defense Council. David Pettit is with the NRDC. He believes that if the propositions are passed, they would make it harder for California to meet clean energy goals.
Prop 7 is a badly written initiative, and it's actually going to hold back the needed increase in renewable power in California.
Prop 7, the Solar and Clean Air Energy Initiative, requires utility companies to generate half of their power from renewable energy, like wind and solar, by 2025. Some environmental groups say that it would create regulations and loopholes that would make it difficult to bring renewable technology into the state. But Tam Hunt with Community Environmental disagrees.
Rather than taking a big stick approach, you take a big carrot approach. What I mean by that is you provide more incentives, more tools to achieve these goals. And so Prop 7 gives a bunch of current tools or new tools to actually achieve the higher mandates.
If Prop 7 is passed, it would lock in regulations that can only be fixed by a two-thirds legislator vote, a vote many believe is nearly impossible. Prop 10 is another energy initiative on the ballot. It calls for $5 billion in bonds to help replace traditional fuel for cars with natural gas. Daryl Park of the Sierra Club says switching to natural gas will be too expensive and won't reduce air pollution.
It's absolutely the wrong direction. It won't take us anywhere close to the 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions that is our target by 2050.
Supporters on both sides of the issue think renewable energy is important to California's future, but can't seem to agree on how to get there. Connie Kuo, Annenberg Radio News.
A group of 300 Mormons who support gay marriage plan to deliver protest letters to church headquarters tomorrow. The letters will tell Mormon leaders that not all members agree with the church's call to support Proposition 8, which would ban gay marriage in California. Mark Paredes is a member of the church's high council. He says people who disagree with the position of the Mormon church keep a low profile.
We respect their right to disagree. We're not going to take action against them for it. In the church, you can believe whatever you like to believe. And they're certainly entitled to write a letter if they want to. But they can't say that that's Mormon doctrine. And as long as they don't say that that's Mormon doctrine, that gay marriage is okay, then I don't have a problem with it.
Mormon leaders have been asking members to donate time and money to the campaign for Prop 8. HIV/AIDS is infecting the Latino community at a rapid rate. As a part of National Latino AIDS Awareness Day, HIV counseling and testing was available at several locations around the city today. Juan Carlos Zamudo teaches a sex education class at Homeboy Industries in Los Angeles. He says education is the best way to prevent the spread of the disease.
HIV, STDs has been overwhelmed in the community of the Latino community. It's going to even go up more. The percentage is going to get up higher by the year of 2010 if we don't prevent, if we don't educate our people, our Latinos.
In 2005, HIV was the sixth leading cause of death for Latino men and the fifth for Latinas aged 25 to 44. And in weather, today was a hot one, but tonight it's going to cool down with highs in the 60s. Tomorrow, for the start of the weekend, we're going to feel the heat with temperatures at 80 degrees. Saturday's going to bring us slightly cooler temperatures in the mid-70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, healthcare was a hot topic at last night's presidential debate. Rising costs and shrinking coverage have one Los Angeles group calling for universal healthcare, even for those who can't pay. Hours of taped conversation with Holocaust survivors are being digitally preserved. Beth Palkovic has more on the effort to keep their memories alive.
You're hearing the voice of Holocaust survivor Dora Decumone. Her interview was recorded in Paris in 1995 and is about 2 hours long. 12 years later, Georgiana Gomez is going through her interview.
And they're actually very compelling and moving, so I do get caught up in listening to the testimony.
52,000 testimonies of Holocaust survivors are being preserved. They add up to more than 100,000 hours of videotape, and the Shoah Foundation is digitizing all of them.
So we're talking about the preservation and the new preservation efforts that we're launching today that will allow us to preserve both the Holocaust and the Rwandan interviews.
Steven Spielberg started the project after he made Schindler's List in 1994. Since then, they've collected 235,000 tapes. But the problem is videotape degrades over time. Sam Gusman is the chief technology officer for Shoah. He explains how the whole process works.
And so by 2014, we need to be able to replace all the 235,000 videotapes that we collected from 1994 through 2000.
USC has donated $8 million to the project, and it has access to the digital archive already. It's one of 16 schools with such access around the country. They're also putting some of the interviews on the internet for the general public.
And they could be orders from families who are asking for copies of testimony to museums who are asking for duplicates.
They hope the project will help preserve the memory of survivors like Dora. Beth Palkovic, Annenberg Radio News.
Los Angeles students are getting help to preparing for college thanks to the Los Angeles Public Library's new Study Skills and Test Preparation Program. Deidre Crawford reports.
About 200 local middle school students filled the auditorium at the downtown Los Angeles Library today, eagerly awaiting the launch of Student Smart, Tools of Becoming a Better Student. The Los Angeles City Library is partnering with testing company The Princeton Review to launch the new program, aimed at improving study skills and test strategies for middle and high school students. Marcelo Vasquez is the director of Project Gear Up and a consultant to the program. Sporting his cardinal and gold USC cap and gown, he served as a motivational cheerleader, speaking to the students about the importance of college.
How are you doing, future college graduates? How does that feel? How does that sound? Exactly. Give yourselves a hand. Future college graduates, company. I want you to really hear that, because that's what you are, future college graduates.
The new Student Smart program is designed to help students set goals, motivate them to stay in school, and keep their sights on higher education. Los Angeles City Libraries will offer more than 130 seminars and free SAT testing sessions every Saturday over the next year. Dieter Crawford, Annenberg Radio News.
A new program in Los Angeles is offering incentives for people to go into teaching. Math for America is a nonprofit that trains math teachers. The group says many people affected by the economic crisis are considering teaching as a new career. John Schweig is the new program director of Math for America. He says interest in math and science teaching is on the rise. And Schweig says there is a growing need for strong high school math teachers.
We're really looking for people who have a really strong knowledge of the mathematics. And those are typically going to be people who were math, physics, computer science majors, applied math majors, and give them the tools to become excellent teachers.
Math for America hopes its competitive salaries and tuition support will encourage talented people to go into teaching math. A new study out this week says the cost of healthcare in California is rising faster than our salaries. As Pete Griffin reports, the campaign for affordable healthcare is heating up.
Affordable healthcare has become a hot-button issue in this year's presidential race. Healthcare for America Now is a national group campaigning for a comprehensive healthcare plan, and it's in Los Angeles trying to get local groups on board. Mari Lopez is a health policy specialist at the California Partnership. She says the reform campaign hopes to help people overcome the hardships of finding affordable health care.
What we're hoping to do is to ensure that there's a system that's created in order to assure that everyone in America can afford health care, that they can afford to go to a doctor, that they can afford to see an emergency room should they become sick without having to worry about a big bill after they leave.
A study released by Families USA found that premiums have risen 5 times faster than earnings in California since 2000. Premiums are up almost 96%, but median earnings have increased only 19.3%.
About thousands of dollars, $30,000, half a million dollars in medical expenses that they couldn't afford to pay. And a lot of them went into bankruptcy. A lot of them lost their homes. And this is what we're trying to avoid in the future.
For immigrants in America, just understanding how their health care plan works can be a problem. Reshma Shamansunder is a director for the California Immigrant Policy Center. She spoke of an immigrant with cancer who simply was too afraid to ask whether or not her illness would be covered.
Those providing services didn't tell her about what she was eligible for, so she really believed that she wasn't eligible for any care. So even though she had a severe form of cancer, she wasn't, accessing much health care. She was getting sicker and sicker, and she almost died. And then she found out that there were some things she was eligible for.
Healthcare for America Now currently has the support of some 80 Congress members, but the campaign will have to wait until the new year before any type of healthcare reform takes place. Pete Griffin, Annenberg Radio News.
To take a further look at how healthcare affects minority communities, I spoke to Glenn Melnick, a health economist and professor at USC's School of Policy Planning and Development. Do we see a disparity in minority communities with the cost of healthcare?
Well, not so much the cost of healthcare as the coverage for coverage of healthcare and health insurance and access. There's about 45 to 50 million Americans without health insurance coverage, and so when they get sick and need services, they have to pay out of pocket. And a large fraction of the uninsured tend to be low income and minority citizens of the U.S.
Can you maybe elaborate a little more about the coverage? What are some of the problems that we're seeing right now in Los Angeles?
Well, Los Angeles is one of the places with the biggest uninsured population. And And it comes from a couple of factors. One is we have a voluntary health insurance system in this country, where most people, other than retirees and poor people, most working people get their health insurance from their job. Their employer decides to give them and pay for their health insurance as part of their compensation package. And as health insurance costs have gone up and up, more employers are deciding not to offer that coverage, or are asking their workers to pay something towards that coverage. And some of the workers are saying, you know, I can't afford the $100 or $200 a month out of pocket, even though my employer is going to pay some of it. I can't pay the rest, and so I'm going to forego coverage. And that's resulted in more and more of working people having jobs, many of them full-time jobs, but not having coverage either for them or their families.
Do you see either Barack Obama or John McCain's healthcare initiatives as a solution to our healthcare problem?
Both candidates have talked about potential solutions for the uninsured, and they have actually very different approaches. The McCain approach is much more of a kind of a market-based approach, where he would give people tax breaks and other financial incentives to buy insurance on their own, whereas under Senator Obama's plan, he'd be much more comprehensive and the government would play a much bigger role. As a result, the cost to the taxpayer for those two different approaches would be vastly different. Senator Obama's plan would be running literally hundreds of billion dollars a year if he were to implement it fully. There are many people already doubting whether that's going to be feasible, certainly in the short run, given the financial problems of both the private sector and the public sector deficit, which will result from recent government policy to improve banking and other areas.
Glenn, thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon.
My pleasure.
One of the toughest races this election season is happening right here in South Los Angeles. City Councilman Bernard Parks and State Senator Mark Ridley Thomas are battling to represent the 2nd District on the Board of Supervisors. The seat has been held by Yvonne Burke for 16 years. Today, Ridley Thomas was endorsed by some Latino leaders. Retired State Senator Martha Escutia commended Ridley Thomas for his support of immigrant issues while serving the legislature. He also says he will work to reopen Martin Luther King Jr. Harbor Hospital.
And it is frankly abhorrent to me, that nothing has happened with regard to that hospital because there's no leadership right now in the supervisorial level.
Ridley Thomas has taken heat from his opponent Bernard Parks for initially supporting the hospital closure after a number of reports of substandard conditions. Senator Joe Biden is scheduled to be in Los Angeles today to tape two TV shows and speak at two fundraising events. This makes it the first time that Biden has been in the city since becoming the Democratic vice presidential candidate. He is scheduled to tape an appearance on NBC's The Tonight Show with Jay Leno that will air tonight, opposite an appearance by Republican presidential candidate John McCain on Late Show with David Letterman on CBS. Biden is also scheduled to make an appearance on Ellen DeGeneres, a syndicated daytime talk show, for future broadcast. Now we check in with Matt Schrader to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Matt, how are you going?
It's going well. A lot of Southland fires have burnt almost 20,000 acres. Officials say they're now mostly contained. After the Merrick fire burned many people's mobile homes, their owners are now returning. But where will they live? And firefighters say the Porter fire started from a downed power line. We'll talk to an expert on how this type of disaster can be prevented. Plus, most people see religious groups as being opposed to gay marriage, but many Southern California clergies and rabbis support it. And lastly, a school for children suffering from autism and other disabilities opened its doors today. We take a look inside the new school and what it means to its students. That's tonight at 6 on Annenberg TV News.
Matt, thanks for that. Well, that's it for this Thursday. We had help from Julianne Spencer, Alex Jacobs, Leslie Strauss, Claudia Melendez, David Sobriege, Kim Daniels, and Richie Duchon. Caitlin Finaro is our producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Lata Pandya.